1 Corinthians 15. Let's read our text here. Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now the Corinthians had begun to receive false preachers and false brethren and had begun to make them their companions in the church and in their everyday lives. They were folks who did not preach the gospel. They were folks who denied the resurrection. They were folks who called Paul a false preacher. And so the apostle gave this serious, serious warning, and he gave this stern rebuke to them. Now, he tells us here, be not deceived, evil communications. That means evil companions. Evil companions, evil associates. Corrupt good manners. They lead you away from the truth. They destroy good character and good morals. So he says, awake to righteousness. That means awake to truth, to that which is right and just. And sin not. The sin he's speaking here of is being with these companions. He calls it sin. And he says, leave these companions. Sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. That's the definition of an evil companion. Somebody that does not have a knowledge of God. Some of these preachers and these false brethren did not have a knowledge of God. And he says, and I speak this to your shame. It was to those true believers there, it was to their shame that they actually received and became companions with these associates. And so the point he's making here is believers should make fellow believers our constant companions rather than evil companions. Now, this was the message I was prepared to preach Thursday night, but after I heard about Brother Cody, the Lord moved me to preach something else. So I hope this morning the Lord will be pleased to give me some liberty to preach this. I don't like to preach a message when it's that old. But I still feel I can preach it. So I pray the Lord to give me some grace to do so. First, evil communications are corrupting. Verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, when he says be not deceived, he's saying to us, be not deceived into thinking that this statement is false. You remember those four kinds of hearers the Lord spoke about? The first kind was the wayside hearer. And when the word was sown by the wayside, he said immediately Satan comes to take the word that was sown into the heart away. Sometimes he'll use a loved one, somebody you love, who will speak contrary to this gospel, to what you've heard preached, take the word away. Sometimes we go out immediately, begin to put the headphones in and iTunes full of music and the words just taken right away. Don't even think about it. Or he may puff you up so that you feel like you know better and take the word away. Paul said, I fear lest by any means, Satan uses many means, I fear lest by any means as Satan beguiled, as he tricked with his subtlety. You won't know, when you're tricked, you don't know you're tricked. And I'm fearful lest by any means as Satan beguiled Eve in the garden, so he would trick you and lead you away from the truth. That's the fear. So before we go any further, don't be deceived. This is true. This is truth what he's speaking here. Evil companions are corrupting. They will corrupt us. He doesn't mean here we're to treat others with a holier-than-thou attitude. God hates that. You hate that, and God hates that. We're not to treat others with a holier-than-thou attitude at all. But there are two kinds of hearers that will corrupt. The first are those who preach a false gospel, those who believe a false gospel. God says here they are evil, and they will corrupt you. Men who stand in the pulpit and preach that the man's will is the final say in faith, that he has to, God cast his vote, Satan cast his vote, now it's up to you to cast the deciding vote. And men who preach things like that, that it's your will who makes the final decision, they're evil. That's not the truth. And that's corrupting. We must constantly hear all the time that God chose his people. We didn't choose God. That's what the scriptures clearly declare. Christ told that to his apostles. I chose you. You didn't choose me. We must hear constantly the message that declares we have to be given life by the Holy Spirit. We can't give ourselves life. We have to be drawn by God, because before God gives us a new heart and a new spirit, our will is in bondage to our spirit. That's so before and after conversion. When you only have a natural heart, a heart born in sin, your will is in bondage to that nature. That's why you see a cow eat green grass. That's his nature. And you see a buzzard eating roadkill. That's his nature. The buzzard don't go over and eat the same food as the cow, because that's not his nature. He's in bondage to do what his nature makes him do. He's free to eat what he wants, but his nature makes him eat that. And that's you and me by nature and sin. When God gives a new nature, we're made willing in the day of his power, so that you can't do anything but believe Christ and love your brethren. It's our nature to do so when he gives you a new heart. But only then, we got to be made to hear that message constantly. That other message of man's works and man's will corrupt. Those that preach, and you hear them preach, and the message always focuses on you and what you must do. They may use Moses' law to add to Christ's work, or they may use New Testament commandments and turn them into law. What makes it a law is telling you you have to do it or you can't be saved. What makes it a law is inspecting people and exposing their sin and disciplining them and putting them on church watch and all these things to make people fearful of how they walk and talk and what they do. God doesn't bring his people into bondage. He frees us from bondage. He brings you into the liberty of the sons of God. He brings you to delight to honor God and delight to walk after God, because you see what Christ has done for you and you're constrained by him. The message is preached, and we preach Christ's works. And through that message, Christ brings up and he brings down. He edifies, he strengthens, he does what needs to be done in the hearts of his people to cause you to go after him, be led of the Spirit, and walk after him. Law doesn't do that. Law doesn't do that. I was talking to Adam the other day, and we were talking about politics, and we were talking about how we need to cut out lobbying in politics. And I told Adam, I said, we could cut out lobbying in politics. But you know what's going to happen? When you have a corrupt nature, men are going to find other ways. Law has never made men obey. And it won't. It curbs them a little bit. But men find a way around it. But you have Christ give a new heart. Now, a man will follow after the Lord by his power and his spirit. That's a totally different message. We got to hear that message. And another thing that you don't want to hear is there are some who preach and teach that the believer saved from sin. Sin abounded, but grace did much more abound. So the more you sin, the more grace abounds. So we ought to sin that grace might abound. After Paul preached in Romans 5, and he said, we're made obedient by one man's obedience, by Christ alone. And he said, the law entered that sin might abound. The law entered to show us our sins, that the abounding corruption of our sin, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness, by our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In the very next verse, he says, what shall we say then? Since sin abounded, but grace did much more abound over sin, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? God, when God gives a new heart, he doesn't make that child want to sin. That's not of God. That's the old nature. It's not of God. And any man that preaches that's preaching a lie. We don't want to hear that message. That's corrupting. Peter said, many shall follow their pernicious ways. Talking about false preachers. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. And you know what the effect's going to be? By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Why do so many men reject the gospel when they hear it? I'll tell you one reason. They've been taught lies all their life. And they think those lies are true. So when they hear the truth, they speak evil of the truth. That's the result of false preachers. False preachers. They corrupt. And the other kind of evil companions are those who are just base, ungodly, immoral companions. They'll corrupt your good character and your good morals. Scripture says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's who Christ's people are. They're wise men. Because Christ is our wisdom. Christ has been made wisdom unto us by God. Those that walk with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's God's word. He said, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, pass away, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Paul said, concerning two men that were preaching false doctrine, he said, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. These men that are preaching morality, preaching works, telling sinners how to live and whipping the fire out of them when they don't, they're not increasing men unto more godliness. They're increasing men unto more ungodliness. You know the worst kind of ungodliness is to sit in a church pretending you want to be there and want to worship God and are actually obeying God when in fact in the heart you detest everything about it. You're doing it because you're being made to do it. You're doing it because you're fearful of getting caught. That's the worst ungodliness there is. And their word will eat as does a canker, like a cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, these two men. He said, concerning the truth, they've erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. I want to read you an article Pastor Henry Mahan wrote back in 1980 to his congregation. Let me read this to you. It's titled, Fellowship of Believers. He wrote, I know most of you are faithful to the Sunday worship services, and I know you tarry after service to visit and talk with one another. But what about the other 6 days of the week? Do you have much fellowship with those whose conversation is seasoned with grace and who are a good influence on you and your children? The people of the world, religious world and social world, are not an influence for good or spiritual growth. Evil companions and associations corrupt good character. But our brethren comfort us. They encourage us. They instruct us. And regular fellowship with them and with their families will be a great blessing to you and your children. Do not spend your social and family time with those who do not know God 86% of the week and expect to correct the effect with a couple of hours on Sunday. As much time as you can, devote it to good fellowship in Christ with other believers. It will reap great blessings to you and your family. And that's so, brethren. That's written by a man who at that time had been pastoring for 40-something years. And he knew what he was talking about. That's so. Now, secondly, if we have evil companions, he tells us, wake up and turn from them. Look at verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. That word awake means return from being sober-minded. Return from being sober-minded. The effect these evil companions had was they made the Corinthians to be like they were drunk in their minds. He says, awake to righteousness. Awake to Christ, who is the truth. Awake to Christ, who is righteousness. Awake to Christ, who suffered and died for his people. You know, when you think about what Christ did for us, how he came down from glory, and this Holy One that came forth walked amongst sinners. But he was a friend of sinners in that he never turned sinners away. He came to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. He came to call sinners. But he didn't make sinners his companions. He didn't. When you make somebody your companion who's evil, who preaches a false gospel or doesn't believe the gospel, you're condoning that. You're condoning that. You're saying that's all right. And Christ never did that. He never did that. He couldn't do that. You know, it's one thing if I'm invited to go preach somewhere where I know they preach a false gospel, but they haven't outwardly denied what I preach. So I can go there and I could preach the gospel to them, hoping God would save them. But now, if they have outwardly denied what some of my brethren preach, and outwardly denied and spoke evil of my brethren who preach the gospel, and they call me then and ask me to go preach there, I can't go preach there. Because now, they've said they don't like my gospel, and if I go there, I'm giving credit to them. I'm condoning what they preach. I can't do that. I just can't do that. And that's what he's talking about here. After he suffered in shame and humiliation, after he suffered being forsaken of God for us to put away our sins, after he suffered death for his people, how in the world could we not make any sacrifice necessary to be with our brethren? How could we not make any sacrifice necessary to be constantly in fellowship with our brethren and avoid evil companions? Knowing the time, now it's high time to awake out of sleep, Paul said. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the works of, or the armor of light. Let us walk it honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision to the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I want to die like Brother Cody died. He used to say, always, I've heard him say this, and I heard Winna say it the other day. She said he always said he would like to die in the pulpit. And he almost did. He preached Wednesday night, and he stayed late teaching the brethren some new songs. And he got up early the next morning and was drank coffee with Winna, was preparing, planning the day. He was headed down to Cancun to They were both going. He was going to Cancun to preach the gospel that night. His life was one of being with brethren. His life was being constantly in the companionship of brethren and declaring Christ and setting forth Christ. And God took him in the middle of that. That's how I want to be taken. I don't want to be taken off trying to provide and heap up abundance of treasure for myself and my house and set my nest on high. And being separated from brethren, I want to be amongst his people serving him. Awake and sin not, he said. So he says here, receiving these evil companions was sinful. He said, awake and sin not. Awake and turn from this sin and don't continue in this sin. Don't have fellowship with these folks. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know, we have a tendency to think, well, I can make this person my companion and be close companions with them and be associates with them, and I can teach them the truth. But you see, by doing that, we lose our witness. We lose our witness. It's just like somebody who says, well, I know this church doesn't preach the gospel all the time. Well, if they don't preach it all the time, they don't preach it any of the time. One tenth of a percent of rat poison makes it all rat poison. And it's like a person saying, but if I just stay in this congregation, I believe I could talk to them and bear witness of Christ, and maybe I could help them. No, they're going to corrupt you. They're going to corrupt you. Because the way to bear witness is by the light, and by separating from them and saying, I'm going where this gospel is preached. And by making that stand, Moses made that stand to come out of Egypt. And by making that stand, that's shining forth light. And whatever's reproved, remember Noah? Noah built that ark and preached righteousness. And he condemned the world, the scripture said. He reproved the world by simply trusting Christ and following Christ and preaching Christ. You see, the light, darkness is revealed by light. Not by trying to blend light and darkness. That's just all darkness. And so he says, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you more light. Arise and shine. Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord's risen upon thee. Our light's come. You that believe the gospel, Christ has given you light. The glory of the Lord is upon you. And so he says, now awake and turn from this, and I'll give you more light. Now, I know when we have to do things like this, it requires sacrifice. And because it grates against our flesh, that's the only thing that hears this and pushes against it is our flesh. That's what it is that makes excuses. One of the excuses that we always make is, well, I just don't feel led of the Lord. Brother Todd Nybert gave a very good illustration. He said, when I was growing up under my father's roof, and my father gave me an express command, if I would have said, well, I just don't feel the need to obey you, what would have happened? Well, this is God saying, evil companions are going to corrupt you. Awake to righteousness and depart from them. I'll give you light. I'll provide for you. I'll make the way for you. I'll protect you. I'll provide everything you need. I'll provide better for you than you ever could have thought you could have had with evil companions. And that's true. I'll tell you that's true. There's many ways this applies, but I'll tell you a way that I thought of that applies to me. One time in 1999, we were living in Nashville, Tennessee. Melinda and I, we both worked there. And the church was 30 to 40 minutes out in Franklin, Tennessee. And our thought was, we work here 5 days a week, 6 days a week. We go there once or twice a week. Why not live here and make that drive out there? But by doing so, we would go to dinner at night with co-workers and friends from Nashville. But we wasn't doing anything like that with brethren. And I got so down. I got so spiritually down and convicted. And I told Melinda, it was right after New Year's 1999. It was 2000, I think. And I said, we're going to move to Franklin. We're going to move there. And we're going to live there in the midst of the brethren. They were 15 minutes from one another right there where they all live. And I said, we're going to live there, and we're going to start going to dinner with brethren and associating with brethren, They would go bowling together, things like that. I said, we're going to do things with brethren. And so we moved there and we started doing that. God provided everything we needed. And God edified us. I can't describe you how much He edified us by that companionship. It made all the difference. I even say it made so much difference, I wouldn't be standing here as your pastor if God hadn't moved us to do that. Was there something in you saying don't do it? There was plenty. There was a lot saying don't do it. There was a lot saying, you know, you're going to be driving that long distance every day now when you could have been right there at work. There was a lot of times you wake up in the morning and feel that way. But God made it. He made the way. He said, awake, and turn, and I'll give you light. Now, I'm not saying that's the only way this applies. God can apply it to you however He knows it needs to be applied, but that's one way that I know it does apply. Now, lastly, let me say this. These things are important so that we discern those who are ignorant of God. He says here, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Some that were preaching there and claimed to believe the gospel were ignorant of God. It was obvious because they denied the resurrection of the dead. They were totally ignorant of the gospel. Some of those that were there. But the shame was that these true Corinthian believers made them their companions and received them. And by that made these unbelievers feel like they were really believers. That's a terrible thing to do to somebody who is not a believer, to make them feel like they have light and are believers. That's not being friendly to them. That's a sinful thing. They were corrupting, these folks were corrupting the minds of the Corinthians. Maybe they were, some of them were such good friends, you know, that they thought, well, they're such good friends, I hate to offend them. Or maybe they were relatives of them, you know. Or maybe these believers were dull of hearing. I know that through this corrupt companionship, they became dull of hearing. This is why it became easier and easier to receive these companions. And then after you are made to start receiving such companions, then the evil gets a little more strong, and it's easier to be led into that. You see, it's corrupting. It's corrupting. You put a little drop of a color in some white paint, and you stir it. Make one little stir, and it's just a little bit of color goes through that paint. And you stir it some more. A lot more color goes through that paint. You keep going, and it's not white anymore. It's the color of that, whatever color you put in it. And that's the effect of this corrupting, these corrupting companions. He said it's sin. Turn from it. I think this is interesting that many who claim to preach sovereign grace receive folks who preach will works religion, and they will receive them as brethren. And they call that love. They won't receive us, but they'll receive will workers. And call them brethren. And they call that love. Right here, God's saying it's sin. He said it's sin. It's corrupting. It's evil. In our day, there's a lot of people that are so subtle in what they preach, what they teach. If it was possible, they would deceive the very elect. You hear some of those messages from Brother Henry back in the 70s and 80s. He was dealing with just out-and-out Arminianism. It was obvious that it was just cut-and-dry Arminianism. Well, that's not what we're dealing with in our day. We're dealing with folks now who, if it was possible, you would think they were preaching sovereign God, election and predestination and irresistible grace. You would think that. But they come to sanctification and they almost always turn people back to the law and back to themselves and back to works. You gotta have a discerning ear. Thank God it's not possible to deceive the elect. God chose us and Christ redeemed us, and whoever the Spirit's given life to, He's going to keep His people. But now hearing this word, brethren, knowing that, knowing he will keep his people, knowing he will work his good pleasure in his people, knowing that, I say to you, hear this word right here as Christ's word. That's whose word it is. It's not my word, it's Christ's word. Here was a church corrupted and into questioning the resurrection of the dead. This was going to affect everything they believed. They were saying Christ would not be risen. They were saying their faith was vain. They were saying everything about their worship was vain by this. And it came about by corrupt, evil companions. So hear this as the word of Christ, and know this. He says, don't be deceived now. Don't leave from here saying, well, you know, I'm not sure. I think that's too narrow. That's too dogmatic. It's God's word. He wouldn't have put it in here if it wasn't his word. Some say he's quoting from a heathen poet, but I read you a bunch of scripture that says the exact same thing. He's quoting, he's paraphrasing from scripture. And scripture here tells us that you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. You walk with fools, you'll be a fool. You'll be destroyed. But hearing him say now, awake, let us awake. Hearing him say, turn, sin not, let us turn. And hearing him say, he'll provide light, he'll give you light. Let us do it. I know this. I know that anytime the Lord has moved me, anytime the Lord has made me come out from evil companions, anything of that nature, anything the Lord's ever done, he made it to where I couldn't do otherwise. And while folks around me were asking me questions, how are you going to provide this? How are you going to provide that? What are you going to do about this or that? The Lord said he'd provide it. While men looked at it and thought, that's crazy, that's unreasonable, it was just as plain as day. This is it. The Lord said he'd provide. And I'm telling you, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. So trust him. He said this, God's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I'm telling you, brethren, if we trust God, God says this, he said, prove me. That means test me. If you believe God, you can. He says, test me. Try to serve God. Try to serve God as a believer to the point that you indebt God to you. I guarantee you can't do it. He'll provide for you so much that you'll say, I'm still a debtor to God. Try to outgive. Try to give till you just leave this world poor without a thing. You can't do it. If you're doing it for Christ, from the motive of being constrained by him, you won't be able to do it. He'll provide for you, I guarantee it. I'm saying test him and see. But if you don't ever believe him, and test him, you won't ever find that out. I pray he'd make us find that out. Everything he says here is true and faithful, and he makes good on every promise. But he's going to make you believe him to find out. You know, he doesn't give you, if he gave it to you first and then said do it, that wouldn't be faith. But by saying, now obey me, faith obeys him, and then he shows you. Now, I told you I'm going to provide all this. I pray you do that. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your word. There's nothing that you've spoken to us that is unreasonable. Nothing you spoke to us that's not true. Everything you speak, Lord, is what's best to glorify you and for our own good. Lord, make us cease being children who try to turn from what's best for us. Make us grow and be mature and trust that you will provide and believe you and follow you and everything that you teach us. can do nothing without your power and your grace moving us and constraining us. But Lord, just like you provided righteousness for us and holiness and made us complete with God, we trust, Lord, you will make us complete in any work you've called us to. We pray now that you'd do that for us and give us that confidence, Lord, in Christ, for his sake, by him. Forgive us our sins. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.